the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind. Hey, this is the One-Off Technology Podcast. We are live. It's a live edition of the same audio podcast I do. How is everybody doing tonight? I am so glad everybody's here. All those are coming by to join. This is exciting. And tonight is a live Q&A where I'm going to talk about internet safety and things that you can do to keep things safe. But before I get started, so last week's episode, I wasn't available to do it live. I was on a trip where I didn't have a lot of internet access. And so I wasn't able to do it live. So I recorded a video. And if you didn't get a chance to watch it, I'll put a link in the show notes. You've got to watch last week's video. It's me and my wife, Donna, and we're talking about smart devices in our home, Alexa and Google, and the battle and growing up with these devices in our homes and how so many devices
are... Firefox is no longer supported on this device. Here is
Sir. There you go.
Searching Google.
Alexa jumping into my conversations. She's so mean that way. Anyway, so... That is, you know,
you have
just
five devices for drop in, including Alyssa's dot and Donna's
Alexa,
dot.
Cancel. Okay, I hope I didn't hurt her feelings. All right. Wow, she's got her volume loud, probably louder than mine. Anyway, so how is everybody doing tonight? So let's talk about safe browsing. So some of the things I want to get across is that in order for you to truly be safe, when you're browsing, is you have to be your own consumer advocate. You literally have to protect yourself when you're browsing, paying attention to where you're visiting. So let me give you an example. So let's do a little bit of screen sharing here. And don't you always hate when you have something open and then it goes away and you say, no, I want you to be here when I need you. Where are you? I don't see you. Okay, sorry. So let's share. It's all about sharing. So right here, this is my fake page. I created this. So a lot of times you'll get links in the email or you may see links, you know, on a web page. And it's very important that you be sure that link goes exactly where you're expecting it to go. So right here you see, hey, it says Bank of America. That's got to be safe, right? If you hover over it, pay attention down here to the status bar at the very bottom. Right here, if you see my mouse at the bottom, pay attention right there. And so when I hover over the look, it says HTTPS, this is a very bad site.com. So there's nothing about Bank of or even America in that link. So you know that is probably not a legit link. Here's my link I've done for Wells Fargo. This is another bad site. Don't click on it. So you've got to pay attention to where hyperlinks go to when you're web browsing so that you know, oh, hey, yeah, that doesn't look safe. Here is another, not Wells Fargo. I mean, I just want to show you this, just some examples. But then here is the real First Citizens website. And here is the real Bank of America website. Now, if I go into Safari and I go to that same page, if I hover over these, you don't see anything in the status bar at all here down at the bottom. So you have to go to View, and you have to turn on Show Status Bar. By default, Safari does not show the status bar. Chrome, on the other hand, does show the status bar, as does Edge. But if you go into Safari, it doesn't show the status bar. So now you see status bars on. And I want that on so that when I hover over these links, I see, oh yeah, that's not good. So anytime you get an email from somebody that has hyperlinks in it, hover over those links and look and see if it looks like a legitimate site. I recommend actually doing a Google search for the website you're going to because Google does a decent job of protecting people. So, Bank of America. So, doing a search and right here, HTTPS, Bank of America. This is probably a legit Bank of America. Right here, they even have Bank of America listed, a little, you know, Google's done this little sidebar thing, says, hey, take a look, and it shows you that. So the bright side of that is that you know you're going to the site that you intend to go to. And so, very important that you pay attention to those kind of things. Now, before I get too far down the line, I just want to say, be sure to like and subscribe to this channel. That's what lets Google, YouTube know, hey, I want to see some more stuff Roy's doing. If you're doing something cool, well, liking it and subscribing and leaving comments are the way that you feed the machine and say, hey, YouTube, we want to see some more Roy stuff. Some more stuff for the One-Off Technology Podcast. Or we want to see some more of the videos that Roy, that Tech Troublemaker guy, does on his channel. And so, highly recommend that you go out and click those links. Hey, I see a like. Thank you very much. So, that is a big help to this channel. And it helps it grow. And when you subscribe, tell your friends about this channel. If you've gotten some value out of this channel, if I've done something that helped you out, help me out by liking and subscribing to this channel. Also, if you really want to sponsor this channel, you can click on one of the links for Buy Me a Coffee. That is just a little money that helps the website go. And I use that to buy upgrades for the site. There's no way I'm going to make money doing this. Like I said, always leave a comment, ask a question, you have any suggestions, something, a topic that you want me to talk about, please let me know. I will be glad to cover those topics. I'm always looking for things to talk about that have something to do with tech, which is about the only thing I know anything about. I don't know anything about life, the universe, and everything other than the answer is 42. The answer is 42. It absolutely is. So, next up, I want to talk about other things. So, now, the other thing is that there is no one browser that is safer than any other, sadly. Chrome sort of protects you. It actually does a decent job protecting you. So, that's the next one I want to show you, is ways that Chrome protects you, or can protect you, if you go into settings and set it up so that it does protect you. Safari is probably the browser that's best for protecting your privacy. When it comes to Facebook, if you want Facebook not to track you, well then, Firefox is the browser that probably does the best job of that. And I'll show you here that in a minute. So, it's kind of crazy. There is no one browser that does the best at protecting us. For one thing, Google's trying to collect information about you to try to sell you ads, send you ads, to try to sell you something for somebody that's bought ads with them. So, you know, you may get protection, but you're not really getting privacy. With Safari, you're getting privacy and some protection, and then Facebook, Firefox does the best to protect you from Facebook tracking. But then it gets to be a hassle to bounce around to all these different browsers to the point where for a while I did it and then I gave up. All right, so let's take a look. Let me show you settings here in Chrome. So in Chrome, and I probably should show you how I got here first. So if you click here on the three dots up in the corner and go to settings, then it will take you here. And then what you're looking for is, well, safety check is a cool thing. So safety check will check on several things for you to kind of see where you're at. So we'll click on safety check right now and see what it shows. So it's going to check, make sure I'm running the latest version of Chrome, which, unless it updated in the last few minutes, I am. It checks passwords. So if I have used Chrome to save my passwords, then it will check to see if any of those passwords have been compromised and let me know. Safe browsing. So I have enhanced protection turned on. We'll talk about it here in a minute. And then extensions. So I use a fair amount of extensions. So it goes through and evaluates those extensions and says, and goes and tells me which ones have a, you know, good reputation. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. Next up, you have cookies and on-site data. So one thing I always recommend, this is a default, thankfully, on Chrome, but you want to make sure it's on, is block third-party cookies incognito. So sometimes I will surf the web incognito mode, so I'm not getting all those cookies that are tracking me. And it's a way, and for the most part, that does give you some safety. Now, be aware, incognito mode does not keep your internet provider from knowing where you're going, that type of thing. It's not secured from that. Incognito mode only really is just blocking cookies on your local machine. And so that's why I use that. Plus, a little secret. Some newspapers use cookies in order to figure out if you've ever been to their site before. So if you go to a website, a newspaper site that you want to read, but you don't want to pay right then, you don't go through a paywall, they'll give you a certain amount of free articles, and you can go in incognito mode on some sites, except for the Boston Herald. Boston Herald, we got to talk, man. So anyway, the Boston Herald, yeah, I probably shouldn't be telling you this stuff. But anyway, the Boston Herald will like find out, will discover you're in incognito mode and say, nope, you can't view any articles. That's not very nice. I don't go to the Boston Herald very often, but there was a news article one day, and I really wanted to read it, and the paywall came up. And like, it wouldn't let me. You can block third-party cookies. That's something you need to kind of decide. The problem with blocking all cookies is that, for one thing, it kind of messes up when you're doing transactions. There's some websites you can't even use if you don't allow cookies. So it's kind of a puzzle there. One thing you can do if you're really paranoid, you can have it clear your cookies every time you close Chrome and open it back up. I will tell you, it gets to be a hassle for sites that you visit often because it uses cookies to say, oh, yeah, that's Roy. He's back. Come on in. Then the other thing, do not track. So I do turn on do not track request. Not very many sites respect this anymore, but it used to be kind of cool. And then preload pages for faster browsing and searching. Sometimes helpful. I have a need for speed and that kind of speed. Think that is a default. There's some downsides to that, but I think it's more good than bad, so let's just say that. Also, on the safety check, let's go, my search engine anyway, it tells me. Privacy and safety, so let me go, where is it? Turned off, I got to find the enhanced security that's what I'm looking for. Oh, security settings. So right here, safe browsing. So go here. I have enhanced protection turned on. So what happens is if Google knows that a site is bad, it will block me from going there. So that's a neat feature, and it has saved me a couple times. I always feel like I do my humble best not to go to any bad sites, but every once in a while, even somebody that does this for a living gets tripped up. So nobody's perfect here. Whenever, if you make a mistake and go to a site you didn't mean to, it happens. Even people that live and breathe security, this happens to them. So be careful out there. So I have enhanced security turned on. There is standard protection, but I really do like to use this. Protects and warns against, you know, dangerous events before they happen. Keeps you safe on Chrome. Improves security for you and everyone on the web. Warns if your password has been exposed in a security breach. That's a neat feature. It does say send URLs to safe browsing to check them. So it will periodically send URLs that you're visiting to check to see if there's been any reports of anything bad happening. Next up, I want to talk about an extension that I use. So if I click right here, I use an extension called Web of Trust. Now, it's not as cool as it used to be. It's still pretty cool, but they've gone to where they want you to pay money to really get all the bells and whistles. But Web of Trust is neat because I can go to Google and do a search. And you see this little check right here? This is Web of Trust telling me what the reputation of a website is. So in this case, Bank of America is a trusted website by Web of Trust. Now, this is based off reviews that people do. So if you go to other sites, let me scroll down here. You'll see here, whatever, Visa prepaid processing is a trusted site. Keep going here. I was on a banking thing because I wanted to kind of show you guys. Chime. However, there's news reports that Chime is having some issues today and is telling people they have accounts are closed, that people are not able to access their money, and there's been a lot of reports. So maybe run a research Chime before you go open an account there. Just saying. Yes, sure, it's trusted right now, but but anyway, so I like seeing that green arrow, that green checkbox. And if a link comes up, so right here, this one has a question mark. It's like nobody's actually reported whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I don't go there. I don't. Web of Trust has protected me on a couple of occasions where a site was bad and had a bad reputation. And so, you know, that's, look at Web of Trust as an extension. You can go to the Chrome Store. So, Chrome Store extension. Yep. Okay. And then right here, you're looking for chrome.google.com. And then Web of Trust, WOT is what I always type in. And there's Web of Trust. So that's it. That's the official icon for it. It also works on your Android phone. I have not used it on Android. I find browser extensions on Android do not do well, and Safari on iPhone doesn't support it. So I just don't, even though it would be cool if it did work and it didn't kind of bog the phone down. So kind of depends on what kind of phone you got, if you can handle it, if you're on an Android phone. But again, WebAttrust is one of my favorite extensions, and I use it. Now, next I want to talk about, you know, and that's the other thing is, you know, when you're in your email, hover over those links and make sure they look like they're legit before you go there. So, like my fake page, don't go to the one that says not Wells Fargo if you want to go to Wells Fargo. Or, this is another bad site, don't click on me. Or, this is a very bad site, don't click on that. Go to the one that looks legit. Make sure. And also, don't go to any websites that do not have HTTPS in front of them. Okay? There's BOA. Here is First Citizens. So here's First Citizens. You're looking for that lock. You're looking for proof that the certificate is valid. First Citizens talks about when they renew the certificate. These are all important things because you don't want to visit bad sites. Okay? All right. So there's that. Let's go back to my ugly face for a bit and talk about. So the other thing, you want to use very complex passwords. You know, if you've watched this show for any length of time or listened to the audio version of this show, I preach complex passwords. Passwords that have to be so painful to type that you hate them. But in order to really live in a world with complex passwords like that, I recommend that you use a password keeper like 1Password.com. 1Password.com is my preferred password keeper. I don't have a link for it. I'll put a link in the notes. I'm not an affiliate link or anything of that sort. I'm telling you that because that's a product I use day in and day out for all my personal passwords. And I have a family plan because I share my passwords with my family in case I get hit by a bus. Well, every site, you know, here's Big Red. Let's see what Big Red says. Big Red says, will every safe site to give you info to have a lock on it? Yes, but I have to warn you, just because it has the lock doesn't mean it's not a bad site. It just means it's a secure site. So that lock means that it's doing SSL, Secure Sockets Layer, which means all traffic between your browser and their server is encrypted. The downside is that these days, even the nefarious sites could go register and get an SSL cert. However, that means they're leaving a lot of fingerprints about themselves when they register for that. So they have to be really good at what they're doing to really get away with that. But it's just something to consider and something to be cautious of, because that is bad. But yeah, for the most part, if you see that lock, you know it's going to be a legit site and it should be fine. But yeah, I've never seen a bad site have HTTPS, but it is a possibility. So that's something to consider. All right. Also, we've talked about this on multiple occasions. Make sure your antivirus is up to date. Absolutely need to make sure your antivirus. We've talked about it in a previous episode, and I've done a demo on how to check whether your antivirus is up to date. And I made some recommendations on antiviruses to use for different operating systems. I still say McAfee is probably the best antivirus, both for Windows and for for Mac OS. If you don't want to spend money, Windows Defender, Microsoft Defender, they've renamed it on Windows, is a very good antivirus. It's not the best, but for free, you cannot beat the price. It works well. They do a decent job of keeping it up to date. There are some settings that most people don't set by default where you could lock it down and have it really kind of control what applications you run, so that nothing really bad happens, but it's out there as an option. In the corporate world, there's even a Microsoft Defender for Mac OS, but not for the general public. So that may change as Microsoft continues looking for new ways to revenue streams, which they're always looking for, new ways to make money off of us. It just seems that way it is. Another cool thing is, I like to have an email address which I call my junk email address. So I have multiple email addresses, and I have one email address in particular that if I don't really care about this, but it's one of those things where I want the information you're trying to give me, but I don't want to give you an email address that I really want to care about that much. I'm going to give you my junk drawer email address. So I have this email address that I use for junk. And so makes it so much easier to just say, yeah, this is garbage. I don't want, if it turns out it's something legit that you really do want, you can probably go back to that site and re-register using what I like to call my professional account. So I have a professional email address, and then I have my spam email address. Anyway. Hey, mommy, got ink. Yep, I'm sorry. Yep, time zones. Time zones and being all over the world. I know it's early where you're at probably. So thanks for coming by. Thanks for trying to keep us safe. Yeah, I do my humble best. It makes my life easier if I can keep the world safe, because sometimes if the world's not safe, it becomes my problem. So I try really hard to keep the world safe. Yep. Anyway, so yes, the other cool thing is that credit card companies like Capital One and Bank of America are now offering one-time use credit card numbers. What's a one-time use credit card number? So the benefit of a one-time use credit card number is that, let's say for example, you're going to a website and you're buying something, you use their virtual credit card number and not your actual credit card number. So if that one-time use virtual credit card number gets compromised, well, they're going to know, hey, there's something crazy going on with this because we just generated it for one-time use and it didn't work. So your actual bank credit card number is never given to them. It's the same thing if you use Apple Pay or Google Pay. The cool thing about those is that they use a virtual credit card. When you go and tap, I know it's not internet-based, but you go and tap the credit card machines in different places you go, it gives them a token as opposed to your actual credit or debit number. So the benefit there is that they never have your actual credit card number. Yeah, so I've been using a spam email address for years. It just comes in really handy to just have a email address that I don't care a lot about. But, you know, it's all these things that want to send you a free PDF and then try to get you to sign up for something, which everybody does now. And so I just use that spam email address so that I get the information to see if I'm interested. Turns out I'm not. No harm, no foul. It's in my junk drawer. I don't check that account very often. So, yeah, it's not clogging up my real email address with spam. Admittedly, Gmail has the best spam filter. I recently went to O365, and wow, Microsoft, you've got some work to do to match what Google does with their spam filter. Anyway, but that's just a side note. So anyway, throwaway email addresses. There is a website to do throwaway email addresses. I'm sorry, I forgot what the website is, but there are some websites out there that will actually create you one-time use email addresses. So if you really want to just say, I want your stuff, but leave me alone, I never want to see you again, they'll create like a email address that's only good for 24 hours, long enough for you to do the transaction, and then disintegrates it. I think Secret offers that. We talked about throwaway credit card numbers, which is also a great thing. And, so anyway. Oh, yeah, so anyway, sorry, Big Red. I forgot your question. Do sites with locks on them have a right to sell your info to third-party entities? Everything under the sun has to do with the privacy policy that they give you. Every website is supposed to have somewhere where they list what their privacy policy is, and they are supposed to act within what their privacy policy says. So, unfortunately, they could be the most wonderful, amazing website in the world, highly secure, protects you the whole time you're doing stuff, and their privacy policies say they could sell your information. So, unfortunately, you gotta go read the fine print in their privacy policies to understand if they are legitimate companies, they will abide by whatever their privacy policy says. Unfortunately, they can update their privacy policy at any time. So that's something to be aware of. Trustworthy companies, banks for example, will tell you, they'll send you a letter that tells you that they're gonna sell your information and give you an option to opt out, which not all sites do. So banks do usually have a way for you to opt out of third-party offers. So they don't sell, because you might get like insurance offers from your bank and that type of thing where they have sold your information to a third party, and so you'll have to go to them and look and see if there's a way to opt out and not get that junk. But, yeah, so that's something to think about. Next up, so let's talk about Firefox. So here's Firefox, and if I click right here, these are protections that it has. It has enhanced tracking protection on for the site, which is by default for Facebook on Firefox. So if you are really crazy wanting to protect yourself, then Firefox has a neat feature where they kind of sandbox what you're doing. And what I mean there is, think of it as a playground. And when you're in the playground, everything you do in the playground stays on the playground. When you leave the playground, none of that follows you. So you don't even get the dirt in your shoes. The dirt in your shoes stays at the playground. And so that's what Firefox does, is that they sandbox everything you do with Facebook. And you can also have it sandbox links that you click on Facebook. So when you click on a link on Facebook and go visit it, then they will sandbox that link for you as well. Now, it made it a little harder to kind of keep up with that stuff, but you know, right here, it'll tell you not blocking tracking content. So it'll tell you if there's any links that they're not blocking it for, so they're not blocking DoubleClick for some reason. So, by the way, Google pays Firefox and Safari for Google to be the default search engine on those browsers. So they're probably not going to block things like DoubleClick, which is one of the biggest advertisers on the internet. But the enhanced tracking blocking protection on Firefox is good. I have tested it. Also, it will do cool things like tell them different places I'm from. So I find when I use Firefox, it tells Facebook that I am in Pennsylvania. I think that's kind of cool. So they don't have a clue where I am. And so I'm getting, so like when it was voting time, I was getting all these things on Facebook when I was using Firefox. It said, oh, it's time to vote in Pennsylvania. If you're going to vote early, it's time to go vote in Pennsylvania. Because Firefox was telling Facebook, hey, he's in Pennsylvania. The other thing I do is, and this is extreme, and this is up to you if you want to do this, a long time ago, I created a fake persona for Facebook. It's my name, but everything else is fake. It thinks I'm from Walla Walla, Washington. It thinks I work at the Wishy Washy Washing Machine Company, and then I'm the head cook and bottle washer. I also doesn't have my real birthday. It doesn't have my phone number. It has a fake phone number. It's up to you. Whenever you didn't have to give real information. And that's the other thing, is that you have to be your own advocate. You have to give. Oh, by the way, when I was showing you that stuff, I wasn't showing you that stuff. So let's go back and see. All right, here's what I wanted to show you. Sorry, apologize. You know, I get talking and I forget. This is what I wanted to show you. So this right here shows, hey, Facebook has, I have enhanced tracking protection on for Facebook. And as a default inside Firefox for Facebook. And like I said, I'm showing you here, it's not blocking doubleclick.com, .net. And the reason I mention that is because Firefox is paid to have Google as its thing. And the other cool thing is if I click on links, when I click on the links, it will also offer me the option to sandbox those links as well. So that's a cool feature. I like that. That's the only thing about that I would actually use Firefox for is protection on Facebook, because none of the other browsers really offer that. I will say Safari does a decent job also protecting and track and blocking tracking, but if you're not on a Mac or iPhone or iPad, you know, here's the browser that is agnostic and works on all operating systems that I work with. So, anyway, just want to talk about that. But the other part is that you can create a fake persona for yourself, and that fake persona and put fake information. And also, you've got to protect your own personal information. You absolutely have to. Do you have to give people your actual information? If you're on a website that's wanting information about you, you know, you could create a fake address, 1313 Mockingbird Lane, New York, New York, 10011, which, by the way, is the zip code that Saturday Night Live used to mention every episode as they were closing out the credits, and you could send them postcards or something. I never sent them one, but that zip code was stuck in my head forever. So It may still be the zip code of Rockefeller Center. I don't know. But that's the address I use, 1313 Mockingbird Lane. Bonus points if you know where that reference is from. Anybody out there know where 1313 Mockingbird Lane is? How did it register you in PA? Was it your internet provider? No, it actually is in the Firefox location tracking. In the location tracking, you can turn it off, and because Facebook keeps prompting Firefox to say, where are you at? Where are you at? Firefox says, oh, Pennsylvania. And so it would just tell them I'm from Pennsylvania. Now, another way to kind of hide where you're from is VPN. Now, if you frequently use public access, like, you know, Starbucks internet or McDonald's internet or Walmart internet. Actually, Walmart internet's horrible. At least my experience has been with that. It only lets you go to, well, Walmart and a couple of sites. For example, I've been in the store and I'll try to scan a barcode and check prices with Amazon. If my cell service is not working, I'm depending on Wi-Fi. Well, Walmart won't let me go to Amazon. I wonder why that is. Anybody can guess on that one? No, I'm kidding. Probably because they don't want competition. But anyway, but VPN. So I do not recommend checking banking, any kind of financial, anything on public Wi-Fi. You absolutely should not do that because it's very easy for hackers to sit in the Starbucks, spoof the SSID, which is that broadcast ID you'll see. It says Starbucks free Wi-Fi. They can spoof that and you will join their Wi-Fi instead of the actual Starbucks. And they're capturing all your login information as you log into financial websites. So the way to protect yourself with that is to use a VPN product. NordVPN is one that I have some experience with. ExpressVPN, I do not have experience with that, but CNET currently says that is the best VPN. I go to Wirecutter. I trust a lot of their reviews. They were recommending a VPN in the UK, and I'm a little leery about using one that's out of the country. The other cool thing about VPN is if you're traveling, so for example, if you want to watch Netflix and you're in the UK and you can't watch American shows on Netflix because Netflix says, nope, you're in the UK, you can't watch any of the things we're streaming over there. Well, if you VPN into the United States, you can probably watch Netflix, US Netflix shows on your computer when you're in the UK. Just word of advice. The other bright thing about that is that because it's secure, you can feel more confident in checking financial sites. So if you are, you absolutely have to check your bank in the Starbucks for some reason, get on a VPN, which stands for Virtual Private Network. It is an encrypted network. You're going through encrypted servers and all your traffic. And the servers that you're going through are scattered all over the country, usually the ones closest to you. And so it kind of hides your tracks of where you're coming from. Not so much that the police couldn't ultimately get information about you, so hopefully you're not using it for something illegal. But if you're using it, just protect yourself so that you are not releasing personal information out there. Then a virtual private network is the way to go. iPhone, with the next release, next major release of iOS, is going to have, they call it Private Relay, it's going to have a VPN built in. I don't know what the expectations are for that. They don't want to call it VPN for some reason, but it is an option to use Apple's VPN. And that may be a go-to if you're on an iOS device on your iPad. Or I'm hoping they'll even give that option to Mac users. So I guess we'll see. Are there sure ways to tell if a site is legit? Hackers, scammers are rampant nowadays. Yes, it is definitely true. It's not. There's no way to do it 100% if you are extremely paranoid. Well, first of all, you want to make sure that when you're visiting a site, they're using HTTPS. I like to go to Google and do a search for that website so that I know that I'm usually landing on the legit version of that website. That is not bulletproof, but I would say 99% of the time, if it's showing up in the top search, if it's on the first page of Google, it's probably a legit site. We won't talk about DNS spoofing and things like that. Those are things that are almost impossible for you to prevent. But if somebody's compromised your PC, they could hack up your DNS and cause you to visit a site you didn't mean to. But hopefully you're keeping your PC up to date, and hopefully you're keeping your antivirus up to date. And those are the two things best protect you at home. I also use Google's DNS, which is 8.8.8.8. as my DNS provider, and so that kind of speeds up connections. I'm not talking to you, Google. Google lit up. Oh, you're talking to me. I want to join the conversation. And so those are things you can do to kind of help that. I mean, if you really wanted to put in the research, I mean, it's almost impossible to make it 100% bulletproof. But it's close. And just practice safe browsing. You know, hover over those hyperlinks to make sure they're going where you think they are. I always hate an email. You'll see all these hyperlinks in your emails. I have to go and I hover over every one just to see where they're going to make sure I'm going where I think I'm going. You know, you'll see a lot of links to MailChimp and HubSpot. Those are mailing services that websites use for marketing purposes. And those are legit. And so, you know, so it might always not always be a link to the website itself. It may be a link, you know, where they're tracking you. I have a extension I use that looks for Tracker. It's called Tracker. And what it does is tells me when I'm clicking on a web address that's a tracker, if I decide I want to click on it, it'll tell me if it's tracking me. Most of the time you're clicking on marketing links, it is tracking you, so you kind of have to figure out what you're willing to live with. And it would help if I display this, so you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Tracker is a plugin I use. If I click on a marketing website and it's tracking me, it'll pop up and say, oh, yeah, you're being tracked. And so it will show that it's being tracked. And when I go to open it, it'll say, you still want to open it? And it will let me go ahead and choose to open it because it'll say, this is being tracked. And sometimes, though, it will try to do a redirect for me to avoid the tracker, to take me to the site. So anyway, another neat plugin you can use. I also like McAfee Endpoint Security Web Control. That also does some protections as well. And so, yeah. I do lots of plugins, lots of extensions. I've done extensions forever. It's probably why my browser used to eat my computer's lunch, because it would use so much memory. But those are things I do to try to protect myself as best I can. But there's no way to be 100% pure and sure. It's 99.8% is probably the best you're going to get. And you, like I said, you got to be your own consumer advocate. Just kind of look at things. Yeah, those are the big hitters that I always see that people kind of fall for. Phishing attempts, you know, if you get an offer in an email that sounds too good to be true, it is. It absolutely is. There's no way they're going to give you something amazing for free. And as I always say, if it's free, you're the product. So Gmail is free because I'm the product. Chrome browser is free because I'm the product. You're the product. We're all the product. If anything's free, they make money by collecting data about you and then selling it in some form or fashion. So there. Operators are standing by. Does anybody have any questions about internet security? How to try to stay safe on the web? I think I covered a lot of ground, but I'm definitely open for more questions. If anybody has any questions on stuff, other recommendations I have, feel free to ask me there. I wish there were a bulletproof way to tell you, hey, this is a way to protect yourself. If you want to spend bunches of money on firewalls, you know, that helps. You know, just get you a good old Cisco ASA in your house, and it will do a pretty good job protecting you. You can use their some of their intrusion protection products. But so big businesses spend big bucks buying protection, but even they have to do layers because one product may be good at blocking this type of stuff and another product may be good at blocking that type of stuff. And so I got the firewall to try to block the obvious, and then I've got the email filter to try to keep junk from getting in my email, and it's running antivirus to make sure that I'm not getting viruses via email. Just web filters that are trying to keep me from going to websites I have no business going to, that keep me safe. These are all things in a big corporate environment to run. And you can run smaller versions of those type things in your house to try to do that. I have protections on our wireless access point. It has some firewall protections built into it. I'll block simple things like FTP. There's like almost zero chance I need FTP. Also, my wireless access point, I do not allow remote access to it. So a lot of your access points, wireless access points will allow you to remotely control them. I do not recommend that. That's almost like saying, you know what, I've got a door, and if you happen to figure out the lock, you can come in. And so you don't want to allow that. You also want to make sure your internet router in your house is kept up to date. I don't know what brand you have, but most brands have firmware updates that come out fairly often that handle security vulnerabilities. Most new internet access points are built to automatically do automatic updates. And so, but you may have to go in there occasionally and say, okay, make sure you go check for updates. But that's a key thing you want to do, because unfortunately, hackers will attack internet access points periodically and try to find vulnerabilities. And so it's a game, but basically keep everything up to date. Keep your OS up to date, keep your antivirus up to date, keep your wireless access point up to date, practice safe browsing, do everything you can not to click on bad links, pay attention to where that hyperlink says it's going to go to make sure you're not going someplace you don't have any business to. Look at extensions like Web of Trust and Tracker that will help you keep your browsing safe from that standpoint. And so use Firefox if you're a Facebook fan, but you don't want Facebook tracking you. It's a lot of work being safe these days. It's so much harder than it ever was at this point. And with ransomware running rampant, it's such a challenge. But it's not impossible. You can do it. You just have to pay attention to what you're doing. And back up, and back up often. So back up your stuff. You know, if you have a disk base where you can offline back it up, I like to back up to an external drive, and then I unplug the external drive. Why? Because if my computer gets a virus, my backup doesn't get infected. I also use cloud backup. I use Google Drive to back up my computer. I also have OneDrive to back up stuff to as well. And so between those two services, I'm able to back up my data. But I also have this external drive, which is in case something really bad happens to everything else. I've got this external drive. You've really got to figure out what your level of paranoia is, how much you're willing to pay for it. That's how paranoid I am. I actually back up my pictures to 4 different services, mainly because Amazon Prime gives me photo storage for free. And, you know, so I back up external, I back up to OneDrive, I back up to my Google Drive. I think there's another service in there. I can't think of it right now, but I think there's one more. Anyway, so yeah, there it goes. Now, so I want to talk about 2 things. I'm going to change topics here. We'll go to, we're going to say this is chapter two. So I want to talk about something that I have, you know, learned a lot about in recent time and really cool. So I don't talk about my faith on this channel very often, but I am a Christian, and there's an organization that I have been working with occasionally, and they do Bible translation. So it's very amazing, the whole process. There are people groups around the world that do not have the Holy Bible translated into their language. And so there are groups all over the world whose focus is translating the Bible into their language. And so this whole process of doing that. And so the group I was working with, they translate the Bible into scripture. Actually, the group they're working with didn't even have a written language. And so they've been focused for the last 50 years in refining their translation, creating a written language for the folks, and refining the translation and publishing it into an Android app. And so Android is a low-cost phone that is accessible, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world. You can go buy a low-end Android phone. And so what they'll do with this app is they'll translate the Bible to their language, and then the app will let the folks transfer via Bluetooth the app to other phones. So that's really cool to me. So if they don't have internet access, if they can get it loaded on somebody's phone, that person can share it with somebody, and that person can share it with somebody. And that's their way of sharing the gospel. And so just think that's very amazing. And so I really like when technology is used for cool things. And so in that particular case, because that's something I believe in, I'm very impressed by the effort that he put into making that available. And, you know, technology like that can make lots of things available to people that weren't accessible in some other form or fashion. And so that's just very amazing to me. All right. Unless somebody has questions about internet security or internet, safety, I'm going to call it. We'll let you know. Let's be social. I am out there on social media as Tech Troublemaker on Twitter and Facebook. That's Tech Trouble MKR. Because again, I couldn't buy vowels on Twitter. So I'm Tech Trouble MKR. And so if you want to, go out there and send me direct messages on either of those, or just, hey, say, hey, Roy, how you doing? Or, hey, Tech Troublemaker, feel free to visit those. Also, again, I really, really, really appreciate it when you like and subscribe to my channel. Be sure to hit the bell if you want to be notified when I'm going live or to see when I post new videos. I'd really love you to go watch the video me and my wife did talking about our Amazon and Google Device Center Home. That was a really fun video to make. And more videos like that are coming, but they'll be on Thursdays instead of Tuesdays. I was out. Okay, I couldn't be around computers. And so that's what I did was that. And then again, love it when you guys leave comments, ask questions. I love interacting because you guys are awesome. Everybody that comes out to see me, I haven't met anybody I didn't like yet. You guys are amazing. And I just want to thank you for coming by and visiting. That's it. I'm a Tech Troublemaker and I'm calling it. I hope you have a great rest of your week. If you're an audio kind of person, be sure to listen to the podcast. It's called the One Off Tech Podcast. It is on Stitcher and Spotify and Apple Podcast and Google Podcast and Amazon Music. All the places you might listen to a podcast. I put bonus material out there often with that. But it's pretty much mostly this. So anyway, thanks. And be sure to tell your friends about me. If you like your friends, you want them to see me. Thanks. Bye.
The One-Off Technology Podcast with your host Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.